Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies, feline, with a death wish. I didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
The Astros get swept in Detroit. Fromber, rough first inning. He has not been good. We haven't talked about the Astros since really the first segment, so we'll get back into them right now. You look at Fromber over the last couple of starts. We know what happened yesterday. But if you go before that, he had in his previous start against Baltimore, another game the Astros lost. He did go 6 2/3, but gave up the 4 runs, 3 earned. The start before that against the Yankees, 5 2/3, 4 earned runs. Start before that against Boston, 6 innings, 6 earned runs. So we're on a run of about a month when you throw in yesterday's game where Fromber has, well, he's gone on, well, they've lost his last 5 starts now, and he has been a big problem in 4 of the 5. Like, if you go back to his start against Washington, they lost that one 2-1. I'm not going to blame him for that. He's been bad. The team itself has overall been bad. And before yesterday's start, there was a player-led meeting where Correa spoke, among others. And at least one game out after the talk, nothing's changed. So that's catnip for Jeremy Branham. I believe he even commented on it on Twitter. I think he might have quote tweeted the story about Carlos Correa speaking.
Yeah.
What did he say? Overrated?
Yeah, what he wrote. He says that they're overrated, that they don't mean anything.
Yeah.
And then during one of the breaks while I was still here, he walked out and suggested that 97.5 have a – hosts only meeting.
Who does he think should lead that meeting? Did he give you any more?
No, just that, you know, maybe we should regroup, you know, talk things over.
Much like baseball, one show doesn't affect what the other show does. So I talked about it earlier. Well, what can Carlos Correa say to Cam Smith to help him see the ball better? I'm sure there are baseball things that can be looked at. Cam Smith is swinging at this pitch when he shouldn't. But as far as, hey, guys, we need to get together and focus, I'm not sure that works that much.
It is just like these guys aren't all of a sudden bad baseball players. So it is just like, hey, guys, just get back out there and do you. Hit the ball well this time, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Christian Walker, remember your resurgent July? Get back to that.
And Christian Walker's like, thanks.
Hey, Jeremy Peña, remember when you're a MVP candidate before you got hurt?
Do that again. I'm sure there are things, guys who analyze at bats, they film everything. They look at everything. I'm sure there's stuff that they can look at, but the guys getting everyone together to have a conversation about picking it up.
Yeah.
Pick it up.
It's also like, okay, so I'm swinging at pitches outside the zone more. It's like, all right, so I just got to stop doing that. But it's not like they're doing it on purpose. Like, it's not like they're trying, like, hey, let me try some stuff.
Yeah, when asked about it, Correa said, this is courtesy of Brian McTaggart. It's just to encourage guys to go out there and bring the energy and go out there and play the brand of baseball that we're accustomed to play. I don't like to give John Granato credit for much, but this thing he has said several times, and it makes some sense. you look like you have you don't have energy when you're not scoring runs.
Yeah.
When you hit the ball well and guys are on the base pass and you're scoring runs, you got all the energy in the world. I'm not sure the energy affects your plate appearances. Your plate appearances affect the energy that people feel around the club play.
Yeah.
Like if you're in the midst of the 31 innings of not scoring, the energy's not going to be good.
Yeah, it's going to be a little more dour.
Yeah.
Than when you're scoring 15 runs.
So if they hit the baseball today against a guy who almost perfect gamed them in his last outing, then the energy will be good. If they don't, and he continues his run of not allowing Astros and only Astros to hit the baseball because he doesn't have a track record of doing it against anyone else.
No.
If he continues, oh, I see that Astros uniform and I become one of the best pitchers in baseball, then the energy is going to be pretty low.
Yeah.
So I will agree with Jeremy Branham there. Telling guys to play their brand of baseball just means hit the baseball.
Hey, you guys are good. Play good.
Remember that. If there is something that you can critique on their swing, and that helps, okay, Carlos Correa, I appreciate it. Welcome.
Yeah, but the whole team doesn't need to be there for that. You know, yeah, like
talk to a couple guys.
Yeah,
about
it's
that.
Not like we're all making the same mistake.
Yeah, so we'll see if those mistakes, while weren't being corrected yesterday, will be corrected today.
Got a little extra time because it was a day game, you know.
Or you take in more of the speech. Maybe they replay the speech. They film everything, right? So maybe. They probably didn't film this. You know, they'll film when Cam Smith is told he's a big leaguer.
Yeah. Yeah. Why are they filming that but not filming when Carlos Correa is like, do better?
It doesn't hit the same. How come that's not on social media? Those are the things you want
to
see.
You need to step up.
Lock in. And to be fair, the way Suarez and Trammell played those fly balls on Tuesday, maybe someone needed a talking to.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for Trammell, he didn't make the play yesterday afternoon. And now he's being evaluated for a concussion. He's had a couple tough days in the outfield.
Took a couple knocks.
Yeah. This one.
Body blow theory, you know. Just it's the grueling SEC schedule that he's playing.
What you're saying is while he may not have lost on Monday because he caught it.
Yeah.
The effects of Monday led to.
Is what led him to lose to unranked The Wall.
Yes. Okay. Okay.
Because he just came off playing, you know, top 15.
Warning track. Yeah. Okay. Everything goes back to that, to college football. Okay. I will allow that.
Best win of Mark Stoops' career.
Taking out Taylor Trammell?
Taking out Taylor Trammell in the first inning while the Tigers are in the middle of scoring six runs.
Six runs against Fromber. Yeah, that's what happened. Six runs, wound up giving up seven. Did go five, so the rest of the bullpen, or at least, excuse me, the bullpen didn't get crushed. Didn't have to break out what already is a bullpen that's been taxed and not pitching well. Didn't have to force them to go through seven innings.
Outside the first inning, the Astros won, really.
2-1, yeah.
So if they can just clean up the giving up five runs before getting an out and then eventually giving up the sixth run before getting three outs. If they can clean that up, they're on the way to winning baseball, folks.
You know, what would help winning more baseball games is not to simply stop at scoring the two runs, courtesy of the Dubon home run.
And really, you can make the case. So after, you know, innings 2-9, win. If the umps and New York make the proper call on the Yonner Diaz play, win. Basically have a two-game win streak right now by scoring three runs.
I will say.
It's a game of inches.
I don't even buy that they would have won the game if Yonner was ruled safe because I believe in the butterfly effect. I don't think if you remove one thing from happening, then all the other stuff is going to happen the same way.
That's very reasonable and logical. But what I'm saying is...
Well, yeah, go on. What are you saying? What are you saying?
Astros are basically red hot.
On a two-game winning streak? Yeah. Okay. All their problems are fixed?
Yeah. Back-to-back shutouts by the pitching staff?
Okay.
No, wait. Except for the one
except
run.
Except for, the, you know, the starting pitcher.
The one run. That was actually the seventh run yesterday.
Yeah.
Other than that,
somehow we've worked our way to thinking the Astros are actually hot.
Good.
Yeah, well.
Watch out, Mariners.
The Mariners have their own problems, thankfully. They got plenty of problems of their own, and we thank them for
it. I'm just glad they're also frowning right now, too. I'm glad their radio stations are also being like, we just suck. We're really dropping the ball. The Astros can't win.
You got to think.
The Astros are like, we're dropping the ball. The Mariners can't win.
You
got to
think that's the conversation for the Mariners, who have been in this spot the last month or so where they've been gaining ground because they've been playing well, and they think this could be the day we overtake the Astros or get within a half a game and really, really get by them and then take off, and they have not been able to. No. And I'm sure there's some dread there going, eventually the Astros are going to turn around because they have been the nail to our hammer for the better part of a decade. So it has to be extremely frustrating as a Mariner fan or a person talking about the Mariners, because this Astros team feels very vulnerable, and your team is just getting their heads beat in night after night with all these chances to take over.
They're losing almost as badly as the Astros are.
Like, they don't have the embarrassing 31 straight scoreless innings thing, but they're getting their asses kicked.
I'll check after the Astros game is out of hand. I'm just like, oh, it's already 8-2 against the Mariners. All right.
Well, I guess we're staying a game and a half up. Bad baseball all around in the AL West. Thankfully, the Astros have played better baseball than the other team, so you keep your lead.
Barely.
Can the Astros just play 300 baseball the rest
really
of the way?
They really cannot keep getting away with this.
It's true.
Jesse Pinkman was right.
There's some Mariner fan some account that no one's following who pulls up that gif over and over again after every night, saying they can't keep getting away with this because the ineptitude is the saving grace for the Astros, not just theirs, but the Mariners as well.
Well, luckily,
the Rangers, we expect the A's to be inept, but the Rangers too.
I don't think the Rangers have made up ground.
The Rangers have had a prime opportunity to make up ground on both these teams, and they can't do it either. And we thank them for it. All right, so they head to Baltimore with a chance to turn it around. We're gonna look at it in a positive way. That series against the Tigers, one of the better teams in baseball, is over. Now you see the Orioles, who, unfortunately, since they fired their manager and put the interim in, are one of the better teams in baseball right now. And we saw that in grave detail. When they took 2 out of 3 from the Astros and had a real shot to sweep them. So it's time to bounce back, right? The speech will take effect.
Yeah.
Now that they're in Baltimore in a great ballpark.
Let's get a win tonight.
Will the Astros lead? When's the last time they led a game?
Well, you had to score runs to lead.
That's part of the joke. So
Saturday, I guess?
Yes, I believe Saturday. So as much as the scoreless inning streak was a topic of conversation, the Astros haven't led a baseball game since Saturday. And in case anyone's wondering, it's Thursday. That's a long time for what we thought was a good baseball team to not lead in a baseball game. Let me ask you now. Does it change? Do the Astros not only, of course, a win means they lead. So let's say, do the Astros take the initial lead today?
The first lead, or do they lead at any point?
The first lead. Let's add some real stakes to this. Do they have a lead?
Unfortunately,
do they take the first lead of the ballgame?
Unfortunately, the Astros have a track record of letting the other team score first for 18 straight games.
That was long.
And they were actually winning a couple.
They found ways to win those games.
They had a winning record in those games.
But it was a long streak of not scoring first.
Yeah, so I'm just going to say that that's not part of their bag. They're you know, slow and steady wins the race.
So do they?
They're the tortoise.
So you said no. Do they lead in this?
Brandon Young shuts them down again.
Do they lead in this game? Jason Alexander's on the mound. Their best pitcher the last month, really.
That is true. Wow, two aces going at it.
Do you think the general baseball world is going to be locked in on this one like they were Schubel and Brown?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So do they lead at any point? Which means not that they win, but do they lead?
It's hard to say yes. It's really hard to say yes.
So then you can't even say they're going to win because you can't even get to they'll lead in this game.
It's hard to say definitively that they will lead in this game. You know what? Yeah, they do it.
Oh, look at that. We got a lead in the baseball game.
Everyone knows that there's like a slightly more than 24-hour lag time between players-only meeting and results from players-only. We all know this, that don't pay attention to the first game after the players-only meeting. It's after that. That's when it really sinks in and resonates.
They'll play Astros baseball and take a lead in this game.
Yep. I think they'll play with a lot of energy. How about that?
Okay. I'll take that. I don't want lazy
that's
guys
what
out
need.
There.
They need to play with more energy.
They'll run out ground balls hard. Yeah.
They'll try to break balls, up. But not too much, and then land on their backside.
They'll try to break up double plays.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. Cleats up.
Maybe not start a fight, but sure, break up double plays. Now, final question, do they win tonight? If they're going to lead, they got a shot to win.
Yeah. Yeah. Because somehow I still actually believe, in a weird way, I still believe in the bullpen. It just, as long as they don't throw the bad bullpen arms, they only throw the good ones. You know, the Sousas, the Abreus. Yeah, they can get it done.
Okay. Jason Alexander's proven that he can go deeper in the games than we thought. He'll give us.
Give me seven.
Six innings.
Give me seven. Sousa, Abreu.
What about he can
W.
only – what if it's 95, six innings of two-run ball, and you have a lead 4-2? Somehow you've put up runs against a guy you didn't put up runs against or really hits against time around.
You didn't get a hit outside the infield.
Let's say you put up runs on Brandon Young, and you're up 4-2, but you only get six out of Alexander. You can get a seven.
Are you sure? I would be Jason Alexander. Are you sure?
You can't overtax your best pitcher.
That is
you true. Want him for his next
we
start.
We have to think about the long game.
Yeah.
Jason Alexander.
Exactly.
Then, yeah, I mean, sure. I guess Okurt. Sure.
Okurt
or
will
King.
He throw? We're going to get him to throw strikes this time around. Let's not walk the game-winning run in.
Well, that was Ort.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You're right. I apologize.
Ort is super glued to that thing.
He's glued to the bullpen bench.
Yes.
All right. You're right. It was Ort. So Okurt.
Sousa.
Abreu.
W.
I would ask for some insurance runs in the seventh through the ninth. Let's make it not close.
That's so greedy of you to ask. Not just enough runs to win. You want insurance runs, too? How much can Mauricio Dubon do?
Maybe Altuve will do something. Maybe. If they're up 4-2, someone besides Dubon has done something. So I expect that to continue.
Just first four at-bats, four solo home runs.
And then it's over.
Everyone else, no hits.
I mean, while that's a ridiculous situation, I won't rule it out. All right, the Astros tonight, we found a way for them to win. All depends on what Jason Alexander, of all people, does. We need six strong out of him and get to the better pitchers in the bullpen. Hopefully they scrape across a few runs against Brandon Young. This can't stand. He can't go double-digit innings of not giving up hits to the Astros, can he?
I guess we'll never know. Oh, no.
No,
we'll
find out pretty quickly.
We will know, actually.
In mere hours, we'll find out.
6 hours, we'll know.
All the talk is going to be about what he did. No matter what broadcast you're listening or watching on, you're going to hear and see all of what he did against the Astros just less than a week ago. Let's turn that narrative around. I don't want Jeff Passons to be tweeting out, this is 14 consecutive innings where Brandon Young is keeping the Astros hitless, although that was broken up in the AFL. Let's say runless. I don't need 14 straight innings of the Astros being runless against a pitcher we had never heard of until he went nearly 8 innings of perfect baseball. All right, we'll go to break with that. Brandon Young on the mound against Jason Alexander. What a pitching matchup. Orioles-Astros tonight on Fox, by the way. It's on Big Fox. So if you're wondering where it is, watch it on Fox tonight. And hopefully the Astros don't embarrass the city against Brandon Young. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will continue to talk some Texans. And also, we're going to question what was Tom Brady up to when he pulled this in a meeting between him and several of his coworkers. I got some questions about you, Tom Brady. I see what you're doing. You're not tricking me. Will you talk to Eric and anyone else who wants to follow him? That number is 713-780-3776. We'll do all that when we come back.
Do you have the ESPN Houston app? No? Then download it now in your app store.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
Considering how much we talk about movies and television, it fits that a plot hole from something we discussed earlier has been close. We'll talk about that, or filled at least. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but let's talk to Eric first. He wants to join us. What's up, Eric?
Hey, guys. 10 years ago today, that dirtbag Mike Fiers pitched a no-hitter against the L.A. Dodgers. Also, why is Texas women's volleyball ranked number 5 and not number 1? And how do you feel about Jaylen Brown's dad getting arrested for attempted murder for a parking spot? POP holding it down.
Let's start with your expertise, Sean. Why is Texas volleyball only ranked 5th in the country?
Listen, when you've built the type of program that Jared Elliott has built, you don't worry about preseason.
Is Jared Elliott his real name?
Yeah.
Okay.
Jared Elliott.
The head coach of Texas women's volleyball. Yeah. Okay. You don't worry about
preseason.
You don't worry about preseason rankings.
No.
That doesn't matter.
It's about who's lifting the trophy.
We'll see what happens when they get on the court.
Let our game do the talking. I know.
There it is.
They're all rushing out to tweet, you know. I know Nebraska volleyball. I know Kansas volleyball. They're all, we're number one. We'll see.
They
lace them up.
You we'll do it see. For the wins. They do it for the clicks.
Exactly. They play for clicks.
No.
We play for wins here in Texas.
There it is. No volleyball. Worries.
Volleyball. Can't speak for football.
they may do it for both.
They right now they do it for both. Historically, they're really doing it for one.
Yeah. Yeah. Thankfully,
if the second one comes along, that really helps.
Yes. Thankfully, things seem to be changing there. He also mentioned Mike Fiers. Yes. At one point, Mike Fiers was, that's a nice moment. Things have certainly turned since then. And as far as Jaylen Brown's, I did not know that was a story, but I did see Eric did bring a real thing to the show. Jaylen Brown's dad was arrested for attempted murder over a parking spot. This happened, looks like, earlier today in Vegas, a stabbing. So that is around. Several news sources are talking about this. The father of NBA star Jaylen Brown was arrested for Wednesday night stabbing at a Las Vegas park, according to a source familiar with the investigation. He was booked this morning on suspicion of attempted murder, and he'll be in court this afternoon.
That really seems like an overreaction. I don't know the situation, but it feels like an overreaction.
Yeah, what is being reported is true, that it was simply over a parking spot. It does not feel like the appropriate response to whatever was happening, but as is very obvious, we don't know all the details. Just know that he was the one arrested. The victim was stabbed in the stomach. And according to people, it was about an argument over a parking space. That's what the Las Vegas police is saying. That's a tough way to have your life not only put in jeopardy because you're stabbed, but your freedom put in jeopardy when it comes to Jaylen Brown's dad. And his name is Quentin Brown. Quentin M. Brown. He was booked. So there it is. You want to keep track of that story. NBA star Jaylen Brown's dad arrested for attempted murder, according to the police in Vegas. Well, I'm sure more details will come out, but as it stands right now, that is very, very unfortunate. Hopefully, the person who was stabbed recovers, but the story itself, if what is said, what is being reported is true, that it's over a parking spot, what are we doing? what are we doing?
I get it. Road rage, you know?
It happens. Look, we know that we will read a story about something ridiculous that leads to loss of life and go, how could this have happened? It happens more often than it clearly should. And of course, the Jaylen Brown of it all is why it's more – why it's an actual story as opposed to something that's on the police blotter in Vegas. But if we just excuse or remove, that's Jaylen Brown's dad involved in it, one human being is stabbing another over a parking spot, and one person apparently could have died, and the other may be spending a lot of time in jail if what's being reported is true. Once again, what are we doing?
And then you add in the fact that the person allegedly doing the stabbing has a son who signed a $300 million contract.
Yeah, we know
pretty crazy.
Yeah, we know it's not. if the Jaylen Brown of it all would make sense if it was some financial crime. Like, why is Jaylen Brown's dad involved in some financial thing? But as far as the heat of a moment of a stabbing, would he think to himself, my son has a max contract. What am I doing?
Listen, I'm not a father, so I can't say. But if my father,
Lance
my
chimes
son,
in that he is as he walks by.
Okay, if my son was worth at least $300 million.
You would not be involved in altercations anything?
I think generally I'd be much more laid back about things. I think just in general, I wouldn't be sweating a parking spot that much.
Well, I get that sentiment. How much should you be bothered by anything? It's not his money. I'm sure Jaylen Brown's taking care of his family. Like, if you're Jaylen Brown, there's no reason you would ever or should be involved in something like this because you're Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
But as Quentin Brown is living and going through life,
should be doing all right.
I don't know that Jaylen Brown is supporting his father. I don't know any of that.
Guys that get drafted make a lot less money than Jaylen Brown. The first thing they do is take care of their parents. That's all I'm saying.
I don't know.
That's all I'm saying.
While that is true, we don't know their relationship.
I guess we don't.
We don't know. We don't know. I don't know that they have a bad one or a good one.
In the wise words of John Granato.
I really don't.
You don't know.
So I can't speak to whether... Okay. Whether he was going home,
and you know,
if he had not stabbed the guy, he was going to a great home in Vegas that Jaylen Brown bought for him. I don't know.
Or maybe his son signed a $300 million contract, and he's not getting any of it, and that's why he's walking around with a chip on his shoulder.
It's a lot of speculation from that room.
What else am I supposed to do with this?
Why would you say he has a chip on? I don't know that he has a chip on his shoulder. He was an ex-boxer. Or he is an ex-boxer, excuse me. I think he won a title at some point. I see a belt around, a WBU belt around his waist.
There's a belt around him? Okay.
Yes. Former boxer. His name, they call him Marcellus Brown. That's his name according to Wiki, but I read the name Quinn Brown in the report, so maybe they're off on the name, but the story is true. I don't know. It says Marcellus Brown is his dad, but the name mentioned in the story was Quentin. Oh, it's Quentin M. Brown. Maybe Quentin's his real first name, and he goes by Marcellus. That might be the deal. Either way, Jaylen Brown's dad. Speculation aside, we do know this. He's been arrested for the stabbing of someone in Las Vegas. If you want to go to Theory Corner, Sean's right there with you. Why could he possibly have been involved?
I'm just trying to solve this case. Sorry.
You're not. So we get Detective Sean, but not Dr. Sean.
We can get both. If he broke his hand, we can. If there's video of him breaking his hand.
I think I like Detective Sean. Profiler Sean is actually what you are. You're profiling a psyche to figure out how this came about.
Yeah, I'm just trying to put together the pieces. What leads a, I'm assuming, like 60-year-old man to stab someone over a parking spot?
Sean Castle. You're not really with the police, but you've been deemed a consultant.
I'm a consultant. consultant for the piece.
Yeah, I am watching Professor T, which is a British show, and you got a fine education at Texas, but you didn't get it in criminology like he did.
No, I didn't. I didn't even take a BS class about criminology.
Yeah,
either.
Not even. So maybe Profiler Sean will be something we do.
I have unconventional methods.
Yeah, you just guess. It's very unconventional.
I just make it up in my head.
And see if I'm right. With no evidence. But yes, you're right. It is odd.
Oh, okay. That part I'm right about.
Yeah, I just don't know why.
It's an odd story.
I don't know how he got to that point,
which
is what you're speculating about. But it is odd that this is happening. That's where I stand. Hopefully, the victim is fine.
Let me see the crime scene.
How's that going to happen?
I'm going to get my monk on.
Maybe you've got a connection with the Vegas police, and that can be done for you. All right, we'll go to break with that. We've got Profiler Sean on this. On the case.
I don't like Profiler Sean in this specific
what do I,
type of
crime. You're not a
crime.
Detective. What am I going to call you? A consultant? That doesn't.
Police
that's
consultant
not,
Sean.
Police consultant. Criminal Profiler Sean. What about that?
The profiler word is very charged when it comes to police investigations.
And there's a black man involved.
That's why I'm uncomfortable with it.
I'm less uncomfortable with you being uncomfortable.
I know.
In fact, I think I want to lean into you being uncomfortable.
That's the secret magic of the show.
I want to lean into that. Or we'll just call you police consultant, Sean. That doesn't ring true, though.
Wannabe police consultant.
Now the title's really long. What are you, Daenerys Targaryen? Yeah. How many titles do I have to give you to get through it? All right, we'll go to break with that. Weird story, and now we have a new thing that Sean can do. Didn't know that was coming.
I'm gonna be working all night trying to crack this one.
Yeah, get your murder board up. Although no one's dead.
Yeah. We'll pounding see. Coffee. Yeah.
I see you as a Celsius guy.
Start smoking.
I see you as a.
But I need to be a cop. Don't you understand? You get in the.
You're not a cop. You're a consultant. You can drink whatever you want. You don't have a badge. I've now become the guy who doesn't want you around because you're not actually a cop.
Yeah, you're
the detective.
You're the chief who's rolling your eyes at this whole thing.
The jealous detective who's hard boiled and wants to solve crimes the traditional way. That's now who I've become. This guy, he's not going on by evidence. He's just speculating.
We have protocol, damn it.
Yeah, somehow I've become that guy. Whatever the case may be. That is a story and a weird one that went down in Vegas involving Jaylen Brown's dad. What's not weird is going to Monument Chevrolet and getting yourself a great vehicle. Whether you're looking for something new or pre-owned, or maybe you have a business that you're getting off the ground, or maybe you have one that's going on, that's currently going on, and you want to add to it by getting yourself a good vehicle, you can do that and much more at Monument Chevrolet. They have a great fleet that you can take a look at. But if you're looking for something a little different, they have the Chevy Silverado available right now. They have employee pricing that's going to go on until Labor Day that you can take advantage of. And you really should, because the prices are already great. But then when you throw in that employee pricing, they're kind of unbeatable around the city. So take a look at what Monument Chevrolet has to offer when it comes to those vehicles that are under that employee pricing deal that they have going on. And the Chevy Silverado this week the 1500 Silverado has 0% financing for 36 months. That's a great vehicle. The Silverado is one of their best vehicles, and they have a deal for you. So check out what they have to offer at MonumentChevrolet.com, and then head on out there to Pasadena off of Beltway 8. You'll get to the lot, and the prices you see on the website will match what you see in person. The great people there will get you into the best car for you, no matter what you want. Monument Chevrolet is there for you. And as always, Chevrolet, together let's drive.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
So Arkansas has found a way to avoid getting fined a lot of money. Now the question will be, because they're Arkansas, will they really ever be able to take advantage of this? So the SEC fines programs, universities $500,000 for a field storming. Unless you allow the opponents to get off the field. Like if you allow team personnel, equipment guys, whoever, to get off the field, you can storm the field without dealing with the fine that comes afterward. So for all those excited students who want to celebrate the win that Arkansas may or may not have over whatever top 25 team comes to town, you just got to wait. Wait till all the guys you've just been yelling at for 3.5 hours, walk off the field, and then you can run out there and storm the field. My thing, if I knew this to be the case, to be a troll, you know how defenses will slow down high-octane offenses by running a guy on the field slowly and then running the other guy off the field slowly? So instead of it being a no-huddle that you're snapping the ball with about 30 seconds left on the play clock, if they substitute it, it's now, oh, you want to play with us? Now you only have 5 seconds to make any adjustments, and we'll see if you get the playoff. I would do that. Oh, they have to wait till we get off the field? I'm going to mill around. Just hang out, have a couple conversations, dap up the opposing teams. Hey, have a good, stay healthy the rest of the way.
Good game to every single one of the.
Yeah, yeah.
And 85 scholarship.
And then have a bit of a team meeting on the field to say, hey, guys, we're not going to let this beat us twice. Have the speech you would have in the locker room on the field and see how much people want to run and storm the field. If I know that's the case and they're actually adhering to the rule, we're just going to do our normal stuff. Have a conversation, talk about what happened,
yeah,
and just go in and shower and get the hell out of there. It's cramped in there. Have our talk on the field, walk in, shower. And let's see if 20 minutes after the game is over, when the TV cameras are on to the next game, does anyone want to storm the field? Don't play with me. I'm already pissed off that I lost. Now I'm taking it out on your excitement. I don't think SEC coaches will do that. Maybe Lane Kiffin's the only one who would even think of it. He's likely not going to do it. But whoever travels to Arkansas this year, first of all, don't get beat. They're not very good. But if they do beat you, know that they're going to try to keep the fans back until you get off the field.
Yeah. Know that you had – so you lost, and that stinks. But now you hold an immense amount of power.
Take some control back. People. For the last 3.5 hours, Arkansas did what they wanted to,
yeah,
to you, and they won. But you want to take some control back? Stifle their field storming if you so choose. Man.
They play Notre Dame in Arkansas.
We'll see how good CJ Carr is. Maybe that's a real challenge for Notre Dame.
They host A&M.
Are they going to? Well, A&M's top 25. Will they storm the field for beating A&M?
Probably. If they're top 25 on October 18th. Auburn, Mississippi State.
Not storm worthy.
Mizzou.
Probably not. Unless Mizzou's having a really good year.
Yeah. If that loss keeps Mizzou out of the playoff, maybe.
Yeah, possibly.
And Arkansas has the type of year we think Arkansas is going to have.
But September 27th, Notre Dame, who currently is number 6 in the country.
Yeah.
We'll see if they remain that way. They've got a big game early.
Yeah,
they
one loss Notre Dame.
They may move up if they win that game. I don't know. But either way, Notre Dame will likely be top 25 by that point. So that might be enough to get people. Like, Notre Dame doesn't make a lot of trips to that area of the country. Like, how many SEC games has Notre Dame played on the road?
They played A&M last year. They played Georgia in, 2018 range. They played Texas in 2016.
Texas is Texas. They're not really SEC. Sorry. They're not. They're Texas. No. I'm not insulting you.
I know. I'm just thinking that area.
But got it. So Notre Dame doesn't make that many trips down south.
Especially, not to Arkansas.
Not to Arkansas, but they are playing the Razorbacks. So that'll be the first test of that. I don't know that Marcus Freeman has my mind, thinks the way I do.
Marcus Freeman's worried about losing to Marshall or
Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois. He actually normally beats the Arkansas of the world.
It's true. He beat A&M last year. Yeah. And then that was the Northern Illinois game last year or the year before?
It was last year.
Last year. He talked with the guy who beat him. And look what happened. Notre Dame was in a title game where they nearly killed Riley Leonard.
And fought their way back into the game.
That's true. That game felt over.
Mentally, in my head, it is a blowout.
Yeah, we were watching that game together because it was an ice storm here, and they wanted us to be available to come do the show or just be at the station. So we were right down,
across the street.
So they didn't want us to drive through the weather. So we were here, we were at that hotel watching the game, and both of us, we had separate rooms, but we were watching it in the common area, and we were thinking to ourselves, making jokes about Notre Dame.
Yeah.
And then Notre Dame decided, okay, we're not going to get beat by 30.
Yeah, valiant effort.
That's right. We'll see how good Notre Dame is very early in their week one matchup against Miami. Week zero, we'll have Iowa State and Kansas State. Avery Johnson, that's one of the – him and Becht are the two big names, the two quarterbacks, so you'll get a good quarterback matchup, at least on paper. Two guys who a lot have expected of. We'll see what Becht is like now that two of his receivers are playing for the Texans. I don't think of Iowa State as just reloading. So when you lose two NFL receivers in the same draft class, I don't know that you're going to get that type of production.
Yeah, normally it takes them a couple years to, rebuild. Because it's not reloading.
Yeah.
But it is, they had Xavier Hutchinson and Breece Hall.
They get guys.
And
or at least they develop guys.
And Purdy. They had Purdy and Breece Hall at one point.
They will, they will recruit and develop. That's what they are as a program, and they've done it to great success.
But if we're guessing, they did two NFL receivers on last year's team.
Not a couple day two receivers. I don't think they have that in their back pocket.
Yeah, I don't think they're developing another one right now. Or
well, they may be, but they're not there yet.
Not ready for showtime.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we'll see. There are two teams that are – I mean, they can both conceivably win the Big 12. Most teams in the Big 12 can conceivably win the Big 12.
It's easier to pick teams who can't win the Big 12.
Yeah.
Who can.
But yeah, they're two teams. Are they both ranked or Iowa State?
It's a ranked matchup.
Okay.
Yeah,
they're both ranked. So that is normally good or normally better than the week zero fare that we normally get. So
last year's week zero game was the upset.
Oh, there was one top 10 team. Florida State.
They weren't a top 10 team once we saw them play.
I saw the number by their name.
No, I know on paper. And actually on the screen. But once we saw them play, we're like, you know what? Not top 10.
After week two, I made my determination.
Yeah, you're not top 10. Figured it out.
Got to the bottom of that one.
Yeah. College football profiler Dell.
Yeah.
Was like, Florida State, not top 10. All it took was watching Georgia Tech do whatever they wanted to them physically in the trenches to figure that out. But we get college football this weekend. We get a pretty high-profile matchup. We'll see how the people in Ireland like the Cyclones versus the Kansas State Wildcats.
Probably love it, right?
Yeah. You know, probably.
I don't know.
Probably.
They'll like this more than when Michigan and Western Michigan go to Germany, right? Is that where they're playing next year? There's one, like...
I think they
directional Michigan versus actual Michigan, where Sharon Moore might be suspended for that game.
Because there's always a chance.
I do think he's serving a suspension this year, self-imposed. I think next year it's the NCAA.
That's true. Suspension. And they may choose the Western Michigan Broncos. He's like, you know what? I don't want to go to Germany anyway. I'm gonna stay home.
Don't have to renew my passport. All right. Yeah. It's a hassle.
Yeah. I'm a college football coach. I don't expect to have to travel outside the country if I don't want to. What are we doing here? But they're trying to expand the game. Josh Pate was on earlier today with John Lance in his new time slot, 9 a.m. With them. And he said for a guy who travels to the big games of every week, he'll pick a game. He's going to be at Ohio State, Texas. He did not choose this game because he doesn't expect the atmosphere to match what a college football atmosphere is like.
Yeah, and I bet
it probably won't be now.
There's probably is he going to a game this week?
No, he's staying home. Now I will say,
all right, Pate. I see.
If you watch European sports, the atmospheres are great. It just is about whether it can match.
Yeah,
a college football one when no one has a rooting interest in these two teams.
I was gonna say the European atmosphere or the you know soccer or in Ireland rugby or whatever. Those atmospheres are great because those guys root for. The rugby teams that are on the field right there. These guys, I mean, most of the stadium's going to be pretty neutral or at the very least, like, well, you know, they do the thing where they are like, you know what? I'm just going to go with Kansas State today. I like their uniform.
Well, the question will be is, now you have two fan bases who love their teams. How many people are going to make that trip? And if they do, it's be more like a bowl game than it is a home game for one of the teams. So we'll see. But that's on Saturday. We're just a couple days away from college football being back, which is always a good thing. We're done for the day, though. Paul Gallant's up next. He and the Killer Bees tomorrow are going to be at El Tiempo on Washington as part of the summer circuit. So you can listen to them today and then go see them out there and get your chance to win one of those great bikes from Power On Electric Bicycle Company. And remember, we're still doing Houston Restaurant Weeks. Go to HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com to check out all the participating restaurants. And if you do get something from them, one of your meals will help feed people courtesy of the Houston Food Bank. So good things for you, good things for the people in the community. Check it out, HoustonRestaurantWeeks.com. All right, we're done for the day, Sean. So what does that mean?
Do you want my dead mom's clothes?
Never will. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Summer's here, and it's time to bring the heat in a new Honda. Head out on an unforgettable adventure. Or take a sporty sedan for a spin. All while driving with confidence. Check out the Civic, Accord, or HR-V during the Honda Summer Event.
See dealer for financing details.
Love espresso, drip coffee, and cold brew? With the Ninja Luxe Cafe, if you can crave it, you can brew it. Espresso? Balanced. Drip coffee? Rich. Cold brew? In a flash. With Barista Assist technology, you brew with no stress and no guesswork. And make perfect silky microfoam hands-free from dairy or plant-based milks. Bring the coffeehouse home and unlock your favorites with the Ninja Luxe Cafe.